Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thanks for being with us again. Tonight's guest is Lauren Wilson, who has been with us before. And at the end of that show, we said, we got to do this again. So we're going to do this again, this time with kind of a different focus. So we're going to have some fun. But first, tonight's metaphysical music. And as I was thinking about what I'm going to discuss with Lauren, who with a group of other people does shamanic work for corporations. And I do some of that as well. But, you know, here's the thing about doing stuff that most people think is strange or not even real, in quotation marks, imagine me doing air quotes, is that when you think about what's really going on in any consulting relationship, what we do is not all that different. So there's a problem in your business and you call a consultant, and you call a consultant because the consultant is someone with specialized knowledge who's been focusing on the kind of problem that you have for quite some time and is getting good results for his clients. So you talk to people and you ask around, you say, you know, who knows about this and will be able to help us with this? And you find somebody, and typically what a consultant does after they talk to you on the phone is they do an interview somehow. They come in or they do it over the phone, or now we can do it with all kinds of high-tech things. You don't even have to show up at the place. And you ask lots of questions. A consultant asks questions, interviews people, tries to get a handle on what the situation is and what exactly is going on. And then they go off and they're not on your site anymore and you don't see them anymore and they're doing something, but you don't know what. They're doing whatever consultants do. So it always occurs to me that the consultant could be going off and doing really strange things. They could be standing around a fire. They could be beating drums. They could do whatever. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't have any idea. They could be throwing dice or runes and coming up with answers, tarot cards. You don't know. They have something based on their past experience and their knowledge and their intuition about it that they do, that they are familiar with and know gets good results, and they apply it to your situation. And then they come back and they say, okay, based on my consultant magic, here's what I suggest that you do. Or they come in and they do whatever it is that they're going to do. And there really isn't any difference between what I do or what Lauren does and that process. We're going to talk to the people, get a whole bunch of information about the situation, and then in another moment when we're not talking to the people, do what it is that we do. And there are results, and those results are most of the time positive, otherwise we couldn't do this work and make a living at it. And nobody knows what it is we do in the middle process. So how exactly is that different from any other consultant? You know, when people ask me what I do, I say, well, I do remote healing, mostly of buildings and land, but also work with people, businesses, and situations. It's my elevator speech, that little speech you can do in a few seconds and tell people. Now, my elevator speech, people get a really strange look on their face and go, oh, really? What's going on? What do you mean? Now, if I fill out a form at a bank or for a government agency, do I put that down? No, I put down consultant. And if they ask for the field that I consult in, I frequently put down real estate. And that's equally true because I bring that same consulting expertise in particular kinds of problems and a consulting relationship into the corporate world, into the business world, but I'm using a different frame of reference and a different set of skills. So the question of what's real in those air quote quotation marks and what's not real really is pretty blurry in almost everything in the corporate world. Sure, there are the actual nuts and bolts of what's going on that has to happen, whether it's paperwork or computer stuff or whatever the bits and pieces of it is, and there are deliverables and all the other wonderful buzzwords that corporate America has created in order to create a new language and sound like they're really cool. But basically, they do stuff and people pay them for it. And if they're doing stuff that people want, then they get paid a lot of money. Consulting's the same thing. So we're going to be talking with Lauren about applying that consulting role in business and, in effect, being corporate shamans. And I'm really looking forward to this conversation, but I'm always looking forward to talking to Lauren. So that's tonight's Metaphysical Musing. And Lauren, are you with us?
How are you? It's so good to be back with you.
Thank you so much for being here. So did the intro sort of say where we're going?
Yeah, I especially liked it when you mentioned the corporate magic we do. And one thing that I think is really important to address is that, you know, I'd say probably 80%, to be fair, of the people that we work with, whether they are private clients or representatives of corporations, most of them say, I don't want to know how you do what you do, just as long as I'm getting the results that I'm looking for.
Right.
And so, you know, there is that element that it could be magic. It could be something completely unexpected or unknown. And what's so funny is that regardless of the modality that's being employed, you know, whether it's Quietus or anybody else, there's no magic to it because it is part of what is intrinsically our truth. And what you had mentioned before is, how do we discuss that in everyday life? How do we discuss our personal truth to a corporate entity, someone who you really do think is extraordinarily left-brained and analytical, and we see corporations like that. Like, how could they possibly accept what is our truth and how we do things? And there's no magic to it. It's really about looking at a problem and seeking a solution. And sometimes those solutions are part of that out-of-the-box thinking. We also consider corporations to be quite box-like because of their left-brained alignments. And we see them that way. And there's a possibility that that's a misunderstanding on our part. But then people tend to misunderstand what we do, too, and put us in the woo-woo box.
Right.
When it's really not. You know, and so, yeah, I think that that's an adequate way to introduce what we're going to talk about, for sure.
So some of what you do, it would be in the woo-woo box, and some of it would not be in the woo-woo box. So why don't you give a range of the kinds of situations in which people would call upon you as business consultants, as, you know, what I'm calling corporate shamans, you probably have another word, and how do you work with folks? You know, what's the situation and how do you create those solutions?
Well, to kind of clarify what Quietus is, Quietus is a cooperative that I work with. I'm actually one of several consultants within that umbrella. Quietus goes under the umbrella of Corporate Aegis Services, and Aegis being a benevolent protection. So considering what we do in terms of our corporate services leans in the direction of being a protective entity. Most companies today know about hackers. They know about electronic theft. They know about, infiltration from within the company, spies, things like that. Those are very tangible things. What they don't necessarily consider is the energetic aspect of those things, intention. Most businesses start out with a business plan. Their business plan would include things like target marketing or a sales strategy, projections in terms of sales, things like that, very tangible things. But what they don't necessarily anticipate is someone trying to take their business with ill intent. Or, you know, they might start out with a code of ethics and ideals that down the line gets skewed and ultimately destroys the company. What we do is we fill in those blanks for them. We take it to another level, a more spiritual level, if you will. When you look at a corporation as a total body, it has an emotional aspect. It has certainly a financial aspect. And then there are the individuals within that company. What Quietus does is actually goes in and takes a look at all of those aspects and how they relate to each other. And that can come in a number of different modalities, just depending on the needs of that particular company we're working for.
So some of it really is just a different kind of corporate consulting, but there's also the protection aspect of it. And when, you know, people think about corporate protection, they think about, you know, people who are acting like spies. how does that fit together?
You know, there's never a simple way to do it. A lot of times, we will be brought in through word of mouth. Somebody will have utilized us in a very personal way to, you know, do personal clearing or spiritual consultation. And then they'll bring up the subject of their business and what's happening within that structure. And, you know, just to give a range of people that would utilize this type of service, it can be anyone from a business owner that has several properties. They may own shopping centers and apartment complexes under one umbrella that's a corporation. We've also done consultation work for Texas oil men and construction companies. It really just depends on what their personal needs are. But when you breach that subject with someone and say, you know, you're willing to subject your potential employees to like a Myers-Briggs test, a personality test. But have you ever thought about giving them an energetic test? You know, something that really takes a look at their personality profile from an energetic perspective. You know, doing corporate classes, the way people interact with each other. You know, all of those things do come into play, but most people don't think about that.
So you do, in that kind of situation, you do an energetic scan of the employees or the potential employees, probably in much the same way that somebody who is going to do healing work would do an energetic scan before they did the work.
Exactly. You know, is this the right fit? Can you come into this situation in the highest and best good of the corporation and still honor your own highest and best good? That kind of situation.
So, but in this case, you're not actually doing healings on the people. You're just taking a look at whether they're an energetic issue.
Exactly.
And then do you do similar things with buildings and sites and contracts and partners and that kind of thing?
Absolutely. Again, you know, going back to a business starting out with a business plan, well, you have to look at the energetics of that business plan, too. Are all the partners involved focused on the same goal? And how can we maintain the initial ethics and ideals of the corporation through all of those involved? And how can we honor, you know, everyone's personal interests? You know, sitting down with a group of professionals that are planning on starting a partnership, it's a great way to really take a look at everybody's energetic alignments and be able to discuss it openly. And, you know, again, that's not something that is on the radar necessarily when starting a business, but it's always a good idea. And then that way you can eliminate future problems within that corporation, taking a look at past alignments and how they might affect this new corporation that's just starting. Are there energetic attachments from previous partnerships that need to be dissolved? You know, is there ill will on this new company starting, or is that why your business got hacked last week? You know, was there an energetic attachment that has somehow triggered this anomaly, this unfortunate mm-hmm. incident? And again, it's a lot of word of mouth because that's not necessarily what would come up on the radar as a glitch, but it's absolutely truth. Seen right. it enough, you know.
Right. You know, I haven't had an opportunity to work on the front end of those situations, but I certainly have had opportunities to work on situations that have gone in one way or another badly. And people are wondering either what a sudden change was or why things aren't progressing the way they're looking for it to progress. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a healing perspective than it is a prevention perspective mm-hmm. that I've had the opportunity to do. But that's really fascinating to do it up front. Do you also do interventions in crisis situations and other situations where the company, people in the company are going, oh, what just happened here? Something's not right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we actually had a situation come up a couple months ago. You know, someone had received a healing within the company. Someone had received personal healing, and that involved the release of a demonic overlay. And, you know, without getting into the specifics of it, that's pretty standard fare. We're not talking about a possession or anything like that. It's just a lot of times people can get skewed because they don't spend a lot of time in their body. And I think we've talked about that before.
Yep.
And so she was compromised and had sought out a personal healing. Well, what had happened was about 3 days after that initial healing, the corporate bank account got hacked. The website was shut down. All kinds of things were happening to the electronics in the company. People were losing all of their files. I mean, it became this domino effect. And so fortunately, the woman that had done the healing work was affiliated with us at Quietus, and she said, I have no idea what just happened here. Can you look at it? You know, one of our associates went in and took a look at it, and what it was actually a twin of that original overlay. It was a completely separate entity operating on an electronic level. Now, yep. and it was sort of like nobody saw it. And when it came back and said, aha, you've dissolved my twin, I'm going to retaliate. And it went after all of the electronic components of this corporation and nearly shut it down. So it was handled from a completely different perspective. I mean, we went in doing a healing, and then it was, this is the residual
right.
effect.
Right. Now you have an attack on your hands.
Exactly.
Yeah, just stepping back for a second, there are people listening that are just being introduced to all this stuff, and you may need a framework. People think of, first of all, people think of electronics and mechanical devices as not being conscious, mm-hmm. that they're just there and we've created them. In my experience and the experience of most other people that do shamanic work, as soon as you create it and you set it in motion, you make it work, there's, for lack of a better term, an artificial intelligence that occurs. There's a consciousness that occurs that keeps it all working the way you decided it was supposed to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a factor in it, because they can get corrupted or angry. There are all kinds of things that I've seen happen. The other thing is that there are non-physical entities who either just because they stumbled across it. There are a lot of ghosts that mess around with electricity and switches and radios and all kinds of other stuff just because they figured out they could and that it's a way that they could affect the living. Mm-hmm. But there are certainly dark entities with negative intent who can do the same kind of thing. Get into all kinds of electronic devices and make a mess. You know, one of the things I talk about with the people that maintain the physical stuff in the internet is the switches, because the internet is just servers and switches.
Right.
And I say, so do you still have the problem with switches failing for no apparent reason? And they go, yeah, it happens all the time. We don't know what to do about that. And you know, what I see in that is that it's ghosts getting caught in the light of the fiber optic system.
Really interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
And they get into the switches, which are partly copper, and they can't get out, and they all collect there. When enough of them are there, the energy of this large group of entities trashes the electronics.
That's really great because, that's exactly what happens.
Right. You know, so that's not even a malignant intent. That isn't that they were trying to do anything. It's just a glitch in the system that they can get in there and be confused. And you know, it's and are the people who run the internet creating all of this network equipment going to suddenly hire people like us to fix the switches?
Were that true?
Right. You know, that's kind of a large jump. But, you know, what you're talking about is not only an entity that can do it, but an entity that has an intention of doing damage.
Yeah.
And there's another way, I don't know if you've run into this, but it's possible for people with bodies, to have an intention of doing damage to electronic equipment or other things and cause things to happen with intention, with psychic skills in much the same way as that kind of entity can do it.
Well, and it's really quite a shock to some people who are not necessarily aware that that's what they're doing. I mean, I blew out my stove computer when I first started doing this work. And, I mean, literally blue flame came out of the tip of my finger. I mean, it was just shocking to me, literally, pun intended. But, I mean, it does work that way.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people I know. Years ago, it doesn't happen as much to me. If I got really revved up, confused, angry, whatever the emotion was, all my computers would start going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And my partner at the time would say, you got to walk away from the equipment now.
Back away from the system that is very expensive.
Back away from the computers. It's not going to work. She didn't know why or how. She just knew that was what was going on.
You know, this is why I love the Dresden Files, because the Dresden Files talks about the wizard Dresden, who can't have any electronic devices in his house. He can't even have a furnace or a hot water heater because he blows them up. I mean, it's sort of kindred. And I get it.
So I want to make sure that we give out your contact information several times, and I also want to give out the call-in number so that if people want to join this conversation, they can. So where can people find you?
Well, for Quietus, please contact us at quietusllc.com. That's quietusllc.com. And I am at Clear Light Solutions. That's S-O-U-L Solutions.
Terrific. And let's give the phone number before the break. It's 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. This is such a juicy and fascinating topic in so many ways. I hope that some of the listeners will call in and ask us some terrific questions. So we're going to go to a short break and give you the giggles with our wonderful announcements. And then we will be back here on the Farkas Files. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
Mm-hmm. welcome back to Science Today. And we already have our next caller. Welcome. Who's this?
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hello, Philip. You sound really young.
Not really. I'm 9.
Oh, wow. You're still in elementary school, right?
Does that matter?
Oh, no, not at all. What's your question?
Well, I know the molecular formula for water is H2O. I also know that hydrocarbon is CH3CH250CH3. Glucose is C6H12O6. The general formula for an alkene is CnH2n+2. But what I can't seem to find is any scientific formula for Bob.
Bob?
My goldfish.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
What if it wasn't always about getting ahead? What if you didn't care about being on the fast track? What if your career goals were to change? Instead of flying off to the big interview, what if you flew somewhere else altogether? To embark on a different track? To volunteer in ways you never dreamed of? In places you never imagined yourself being? Like a tiny island in the Pacific, barely visible on a map, but where needs are easy to see? Or a village on the African continent, where just a little training in HIV awareness can change the fate of thousands. What if you decided to share your skills with others and help someone else get ahead? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Fire at the Shed.
Gee, Johnny, this rope swing sure is swell.
Don't I know it.
Hey, it's Sassy. I think she's trying to tell us something.
Mr. Gunderson? What about Mr. Gunderson?
A fire? Mr. Gunderson's trapped?
Where, Sassy? Where?
What, Sassy? Now that you've got our attention, you'd like to take a moment to talk about shelter pets? Shelter pets in general are well-adjusted, healthy, and love being with people?
Sassy, we don't have time!
Pets often end up in shelters due to owner problems like divorce or allergies?
That's great, Sassy, but what about the fire?
There is no fire! You're just messing with our heads?
Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Lauren Wilson. And Lauren, I want to give that phone number one more time. It's 248-809-3474. 248-809-3474. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call. So when last seen, our hero was blowing up various random pieces of electronic and mechanical equipment.
Exactly.
You know, which people who haven't experienced it, you know, one of the things that I'm fascinated with this on this whole topic is people listen to the kind of stuff we're talking about, what we do, and go, oh, that's so strange or it's weird. My favorite was someone said, you know, what you do is strange. And I was like, do you think I wasn't here and I didn't notice? Yeah, I get it. I've been doing this a long time, but it's not as strange as when I started, you know?
You do. You kind of get blindsided. And, you know, we talked about that the first time we spoke, too. And it is. It's not, you know, it's not like I woke up one day and said, gee, I want to short out my stove and have to pay $150 for a new circuit board or, you know, have to carry Amber around in my pocket so I don't blow up the ATM machine, you know, stuff like that.
Right. Right. And finding just the right bit of information you need on how to balance out what the effects are. And part of it is people also don't understand both the sensitivities that one develops doing this work. And people are usually fairly sensitive or they wouldn't be doing it. and the kinds of effects that you have on the people and the things around you. I know for me, going to an event with lots of people just isn't worth it.
Right.
It's way too much energy to try and manage, handle, filter out all the emotions, all the other stuff. It's like, yeah, and I'm going to watch it on a TV screen anyway in the big arena. No, I don't think so. And in the same way, going someplace and, you know, people can think of it as there's a charismatic person that comes in and everybody looks up.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody who's extremely sexy walks in the room, everybody notices. That's a kind of energy, one particular chakra in each case, that people pick up on. What they don't realize is that they're doing that all the time, that they're making assessments of people based on things that are non-physical.
Right.
And how much of it they really understand. I mean, I don't know of anybody, except people who really have their heads in totally in geek space, that don't, and even those people, that don't understand intuition, that don't understand getting a piece of information that's not attached to any data that they've been working with. And then in checking whether that's a useful piece of information, learning that it's exactly what they needed to know. You know, certainly what Einstein described for everything he did. But they, when you talk about working with intuition, working with another way of looking at the world, they kind of go, no, that can't possibly be true, even though they have the experience, even though they've seen it work in
their life. And that's just it. They can chalk up a handful of events and say, well, that's coincidence, or, you know, that was just a weird thing that happened to me, and that can't possibly be useful or a doorway for me to walk through and affect change in the world with that information. You know, you think about the 1500s and Isaac Newton's theories, and that was the Age of Enlightenment, and we give it that moniker, and it was a revolution in science and the experience of natural laws, and all of a sudden we give voice to those natural laws through those revelations. And we think we're done. We think that it's over, and we figured that part out, and there's nothing more to learn. And, you know, everybody from that point on goes, yes, there's nothing more to know. But the truth is that we're evolving incredibly quickly. You know, you think about just, you know, 10 years ago, and not everyone had a cell phone. I mean, the technology that we take for granted today is fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. I mean, we are accelerating at a rate we couldn't possibly measure just in real time. We have no frame of reference for how fast we're actually moving, and yet when things like this come up, and what you and I do on a daily basis is called weird, it blows my mind.
Well, and there are lots of historical reasons for that. The politics of the church pushing everything that was not couched in their particular way of looking at things with their particular language as being dangerous, bad, dark, terrible. And it certainly was for the people that they searched out and killed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's 500 years of history of people being told that this stuff is bad and wrong.
Right.
So there is a lot of energy behind don't do that kind of stuff. On the other hand, there's probably 9,000 years of recorded history of indigenous people all over the world, you know, whether it's cave paintings or carvings and later written materials, talking about exactly this kind of stuff and the practitioners who worked with it. And the stuff, you know, if you read enough of this, it sounds the same from all the different cultures, except for the cultural overlay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read something from India and you read something from China and you read something from Japan and you read something from Australia about how they were looking at things, they have different language, but they talk about similar phenomena and similar ways of looking at it, just with a different set of words and different quirky things that worked out for that particular culture. So you don't have to look very far to see that until very recent history, everybody knew this. And right. In traditional cultures, everybody still knows it. So, you know, the role of the shaman in a village was not to work, not to go to war, not to do any of the regular functions. They were supported and, you know, literally fed and taken care of, given a place to live, so that they would be available for the individuals and the entire group to do whatever was needed, to intervene in this way that they had special skills for, dealing with the non-physical aspects of reality so that the physical aspects of reality would get sorted out the way they needed to be.
Well, and there you find the dichotomy created in today's society, because those energetic issues have never left.
Right.
They're still just as much a part of our reality, but right. we try to explain them away. And it's like, you know, they don't know that they have been explained away. They're still going to mess with you.
Well, the one that was one of the most dramatic ones that I've seen recently is there is a large, very well-known psychiatric hospital in California near L.A. With a history of paranormal investigations going there and finding lots of activity for a very long I think so.
Yeah.
And it was recently purchased and they're going to turn it into elderly housing.
Wow.
And the person that was interviewed said, yes, those are urban legends, but, you know, we have no evidence of it. So, you know, that repurposing of buildings, and there's so many, you know, in New England, it's mill buildings and old schools and monasteries and convents and old psychiatric hospitals, because the campuses of psychiatric hospitals are huge and frequently are in fine shape.
Well, and it's funny you bring that up, because there was one that I was investigating and just through research, because I'd seen a movie that had been filmed at this particular location, and I went and did research to find out if this location, you know, what the history was. And because oftentimes I'll watch movies or documentaries and things and get feelings just from watching, you know, what's really going on. So I went and looked at it, and sure enough, it had been purchased by a development group and turned into apartments and condos. And the people who owned the condominiums, I just went and looked at the website for the developer, and it was a laundry list of complaints. Everything
yep.
from, you know, I come home and all my water is on, you know, I come home and all my pictures are off the wall, and what's happening here, and, you know, I'm up all night because my neighbors are so noisy, and there's nobody in the apartment next door, blah, blah, blah. I mean, so it goes on and on and on. And these people who are the developers, of course, they're in Florida, or they're in California. They don't really care what's going on. They just think they got crazy tenants. And
right.
if they just took a moment to respect what the original purpose of that building was, they could do so much better,
right.
you know, and not get the complaints they do. But, you know, this is the society we live in.
Right. Right. And, you know, any chance I have to write about that stuff and give people the slightest clue that there's reason to do that. I mean, around here, we've got the Northampton State Hospital was a large psychiatric hospital that was, you know, doing what it did for over 100 years and then was abandoned for over 100 years. There's the Belchertown State School, which was similar, but for the developmentally disabled. And the Northampton property, they have managed to build around the perimeter, and they've taken down the buildings, but they never get a project to happen on top of the hill. And hopefully they won't, because there are thousands of graves on the property that are no longer marked because the lane, you know, it's just amazing. Not that difficult to clear, but they don't see it as an issue. There are also places that I've run across. I got a call from someone in Las Vegas who was the property manager for a hotel that was being built. And the place was so haunted that construction workers were getting killed in bizarre accidents. Mm-hmm. They had brought in a shaman. All the iron workers out there are Navajo. So they said that they wouldn't work on it unless the place was blessed. It still continued. You know, it was an ongoing conversation with her, and it had to be done surreptitiously because she would have lost her job, and on and on and on and on. The place was a black hole.
Wow.
They never should have built on it. Mm-hmm. You know, it may have been, could have been mitigated with the right team of people, but, you know, they started digging holes and literally all hell broke loose. So, you know, this stuff is extremely common. It's only the obvious stuff. There's a concept in real estate called stigmatized real estate, which I know you're familiar with.
Right.
And that's properties where there is a known event that happened or it's obviously haunted, a murder happened or something else horrible. And the way the property behaves in the marketplace is that the price continues to drop and it takes a long time to sell. A lot of the properties I wind up working on are behaving the same way, but there's no known stigma. And you go in and take a look at it, and the stuff happened before the building was built.
Right, it's natal energy.
You know, it was a battle that happened there 1,000 years ago, or it's trauma from the original bank dealings and the purchase of the land, or it's, you know, it didn't go to something so violent that the story is known, but there was violence and drug use and other stuff on the property, and it's still affecting what's going on. And then the people try and sell it or live in it, and they're like, well, why is this going on? There's nothing known. And I try and educate realtors to look at any property that acts like stigmatized property as being stigmatized but an unknown stigma, because the behavior's there. The symptoms are there.
Sure. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right.
Yeah, I do a lot of energetic staging. And when I first started doing the work, you know, it was the energetic piece of it was completely pro bono, because I started out by putting furniture in the house and on and on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that was a number of years ago. And as I started to develop, doing the energetic piece, that was really the hardest thing to explain to people. It's like, well, nobody died here. Well, actually, there was lots of death and dying in the vicinity, and this property has magnetized to that vibration level. Well, what does that actually mean? Well, we all resonate, and when you have residual energy, a lot of times that can create that same atmosphere. I mean, there was a property that I had cleared a number of years ago, where there was a restaurant on the property, and no matter who was leasing that property at the time, the restaurant always failed, and it was historic. And then when I got a hold of it through another realtor, they said, well, you know, this has just had a terrible history of people leasing this property, and we can't figure out what happened because, you know, right. It's always been a commercial property. I'm like, well, it wasn't always. It was actually a battleground. And there was a tremendous amount of death and dying. And in this particular spot, you had a brother situation where the brother was mourning the loss of his sibling. And, you know, he buried him on this property. And, you know, people look at you like you're making this stuff up.
Right.
And it's a, well, whether you believe it or not is sort of a moot point. I can either clear it for you and you can have a successful business, or we can go on. You know, it's neither here nor there at that point. But when you're actually doing the work, and so much of this, the client doesn't need to understand. I mean, it's not my job to convince you that this is the situation. I'm looking at it from an energetic perspective, and I'm finding a solution for you. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You know, that's just, I don't have a problem being wrong. But if I'm standing there and there is a Native American boy who's maybe 14 years old standing in front of me wondering where his shaman is, and I, you know, facilitate his shaman stepping in and helping him move on, it's done. We're done.
Right.
You go on and have your happy business, and this soul gets to move forward. And it is as simple as that.
There is so much of this stuff, and it's really fascinating. I was in there are lots of mill buildings in Massachusetts, and since water power is no longer used, they get converted into all kinds of things. Sometimes to, now it's high-tech businesses or art studios, but frequently there's a restaurant in the basement, and, you know, it's all exposed brick, and the stuff from the mill is part of the decor. And I was at a meeting in one of these places, and they were like, "Is this place haunted?" I'm like, "Mm-hmm." I said, "But it's got other problems." I said, "Watch as people walk through this part of the room," and every single person tripped. Even the wait staff that go through the room all the time would stumble in this one spot, and they watched and they started to laugh. And they said, "What's that?" I said, "There's a vortex there."
Yeah. Yep.
You know, there's an unstable vortex there, and it's doing other things and affecting the space in other ways. But every time somebody walks through it, they trip.
Well, you say the words geopathic stress to people, and they go, "What does that mean?" You know, it's geopathic, and you might not see it. It exists, though.
Right. Right. Well, I talk about the energy lines and the ley lines being similar to the meridians in the human body that are mapped by Chinese medicine that they use for their healing process. Everything has some system of interconnected grids of lines, whether it's the earth or the human body or any other living thing. And this is just, you know, this has been mapped out for a really long time. That's why they have names for this stuff and system ways of talking about it and ways of working with it. It's not your specialty, so you've never heard of it. But
and the thing is, you know, this is occurring every single day. I live in Denver. I live in Colorado, and when Denver International Airport was built, it was built with a lot of controversy. And continues to have controversy to this day in terms of the intentions that were in place when the building went up. But one of the things that was highly publicized was that it was on sacred ground. It was on sacred land. And the city and county of Denver actually hired shamanic priests and Native American tribes to come in and cleanse the land. They had to do this multiple times to honor all of the tribes that had influence within that section of the state. And it was sort of like, oh, this is all hocus pocus, and why are you even entertaining this? Well, because they were already having problems in the planning stages, and that was as a result of the energetics. And, you know, there are some things that I'm working on right now, one of which is a plan that's going in place in Minnesota, up and around the northern Boundary Waters area. There is a huge piece of land that has one of the largest copper and nickel deposits in the world that they're planning on mining. And the influence on the land is not limited to pollution from the mining operation itself. It also has to do with the grid lines and the disruption of the energetic fields because of the mining operation. The Native American tribes in that area understand this. And that is one of their primary concern, in addition to the environmental impact of this mining. And, you know, trying to kind of weed through the bureaucracy of all of those things and being very sensitive to what needs to happen, it's a tough thing to explain. It's a tough thing to bridge and bring into play how important it is to address those things.
Right. Right. And as a, you know, getting back to the Las Vegas situation, there are some sites where if you don't do this kind of stuff, it's just dangerous. And you don't know it until more than one, you know, when one person gets killed in a strange way, you figure it's just a quirky thing. When you start having many people die in odd ways, you go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, doing it well in advance, especially when it's on land that's been that people know was sacred to one of the tribes, is really important.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
But there are also
years of damage without it.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the project will crash and burn.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody will lose their money. So, which is, it's amazing to me in looking at places where different kinds of things were built, how they're always built on vortexes, either a positive or a negative vortex. And so every psychiatric hospital I've ever seen is on a network of negative vortexes. And similarly, military bases and prisons, they're all on a network of negative polarity, ley lines, and vortexes. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, sacred sites, cathedrals, places that are focused on peace and on spirituality will typically be on a very large and powerful positive vortex. And in the old days, hundreds of years ago, that was done with a lot of understanding and intention. But in New England towns where there's one main road and all the churches are in a row in the center of town, you know, there's a positive ley line. That's why that road was there in the first place.
Exactly. They knew it.
They knew it.
Somebody had to map that.
or at least it was a game track, and then it became a tribal path, and then that was used as a wagon path, and, you know, eventually it became the main drag. So it's really interesting how this stuff pulls together. Well, this, as always, has been fascinating and gone way, way too fast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
So there's obviously more juicy stuff to talk about and stuff that we should talk about just between the two of us, because it would be fun to share the way we do this kind of stuff. So thank you so much for being on the show again.
My pleasure.
And so next week I have a guest with a totally different perspective. Dale Allen Hoffman is an expert on the Aramaic language. And Aramaic is a language that falls somewhere between Hebrew and Arabic and is the language that Jesus spoke. So, first of all, he can speak it, and he teaches people to say prayers in Aramaic, and they're very powerful. But he also knows the entire history and knows all the translation errors that occurred because he can read stuff in the original language. So we're going to have a very interesting time, very, very different perspective. Lauren, let's give your contact information again.
You can find me at www.clearlightsolutions.com or quietusllc.com.
Fantastic. And we will do this again real soon.
I look forward to it.
Okay, terrific. Meanwhile, if you would like to find more about my work, you can go to househealing.com. And on the contact tab is every conceivable technological way to contact me, including a link to my scheduling calendar. I do a 20-minute scan and assessment so we can see what's going on in your situation or with you and see how my work would work for you. And that's free, so go to the site, set up an appointment, and let's talk. So this has been just great fun this evening, and we will be back same time, same place, next week at 9 p.m. on Thursday, here on Empower Radio, this on the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere. See you next week.